Yes, we're here with the great Dennis Stewart.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that. a knighthood is on the way, is that what you say?
My people will be in touch with your people.
Thank you.
What are we talking about today, Dennis?
Well, look, we've been trying for a couple of weeks to get deeply into this concept of using natural substances to improve one's resistance. We looked initially at the herb echinacea, and I'll touch on it a little bit today, but we also started to look at the famous Asian herb known as Astragalus membranaceus, just popularly known as Astragalus. We unfortunately didn't get deeply into that topic because listeners filled the board, and that's
they
great.
Did.
That's what we're here for, to answer questions. But I thought today it would be useful to compare the two herbs, look at their role in complementary medicine as agents that are useful in strengthening one's resistance, particularly in the case of individuals who have experienced, if you like, compromising diseases and who are prone to a reassertion of chronic conditions, particularly in cold weather. I think it's worthwhile looking at that topic of where does echinacea fit into things and where does the relatively recent introduction of the Asian herb Astragalus fit into things also. Fascinating topic, and I'll talk about my discovery of the famous Astragalus 8 formula, which I had a lot to do in introducing to complementary medicine in this country. Quite a fascinating topic.
Dennis Stewart on 2NU RFM. And Dennis, you were talking about echinacea and astragalus, and they're both considered to be immune support remedies, but you see a difference between them.
Look, I do. I think I've said on this program before that echinacea belongs to what we refer to as the Western tradition of herbal medicine, which is strongly based on North American herbs and also herbs from the European continent. And echinacea has found its role there, very importantly, as being an agent used for many hundreds of years, both in the indigenous population of North America and, of course, also by white settlers and also by those in other predominantly English-speaking countries that were introduced to the value of echinacea as being a useful device in reinforcing one's fight against an active infection, something like, for instance, well, classic examples of where echinacea is most useful, and I'll say most useful because in a moment I'll talk about the way in which astragalus differs somewhat. But echinacea handles those conditions which primarily come and go, which has been described by the American writer, Christopher Hobbs, as surface conditions, that is, things like coughs and colds, things like tonsillitis, things like sinusitis, things which are infections or diseases which come, they can be self-limiting or they can be recurring, they can sometimes become chronic. In that scenario, echinacea is a useful device to actually build up a degree of resistance, particularly when those infections are at an active stage, and they're useful particularly in patients that season to season, winter time to winter time, experience the surface conditions of chronic colds, influenza, where despite the usefulness of modern medicine, and it is useful, the role of echinacea in particular has proven useful and documented to be useful in that has been shown in a reputable literature, that it will curtail the length of time of a significant episode of a cough or a cold, a significant reduction in the length of time of the infection, and secondarily, the use of echinacea in coping with an event has a history of lessening the, how can I call it, the movement of the infection into something much deeper, into a moving, if you like, from an upper respiratory tract viral infection to more of a bacterial condition that might even transit its way to the lungs. So echinacea, I want to present to the listeners as something that is useful to have in the household, particularly when a virus or a surface condition, as we call it, begins to assert itself, it is to be used, in my opinion, more episodically as something to use to curtail the seriousness of an infection, to limit its recurrence, and to get over the condition much faster. So those conditions that I've mentioned, think of them, listeners, as surface conditions. They come, they go, they can be nasty, and they can be debilitating. Another good condition is where echinacea is famous, and I've found it a most useful remedy to adjust, for instance, or to address people that experience ongoing episodes of boils or abscesses. Now, that might seem rather strange, in as much that the staph infections, which are handled initially, certainly, with antibiotics, and rightly so. But there are individuals who go from one episode of a boil or a carbuncle or an abscess to another. And there comes a point where the usefulness of the antibiotic may begin to wane and the condition become more active and more entrenched. Echinacea is superlative as an agent to use by those individuals that experience ongoing staph infections like boils, carbuncles, abscesses as a means of lessening their activity, shortening their duration, and in a sense working with antibiotic therapy to break the cycle of those so-called episodic or surface conditions. So I think I've got the message over here. Echinacea, a herb to have in the so-called medicine chest, a herb to be used particularly to supporting normally a healthy immune system, and that's where I'll differentiate in a moment with astragalus, but usually a healthy immune system to handle a condition that's usually self-limiting, can be quite disconcerting, say an episode of tonsillitis, where echinacea works remarkably well and is documented also to be useful in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia. So its role in Western herbal medicine, whilst used sometimes as a chronic remedy, is seen more importantly as a remedy to have on hand to use at the onset of a condition that is debilitating and needs to be assisted in its resolution. I've given you a pretty good overview, listeners, of the importance of the herb echinacea. I have said before, and I think it needs to be reiterated here, that we had a very significant luminary from this university, the late Emeritus Professor Clifton Elliott, who in his retirement retreated to the Central Coast and purchased a small property in Peach Orchard Road. And he sought me out and we became very, very good companions and almost father and son, so to speak. And being a New Zealander, he was brilliant with his wife, Nairi, in growing things. And he and I grew echinacea on his property for many years, and I think I've mentioned it before, was stunned some of the American visitors who came to seek other sources of the herb outside of America. And when they saw the herb growing at Peach Orchard Road, they were stunned with the beauty of the herb, with the presentation of it, and with the chemistry of it. And they wanted to buy tons of it when we were growing it on a small acreage that would barely provide a couple of hundred kg of it dried. But we owe a lot to the work of Professor Elliott in his growing of echinacea at Peach Orchard Road, as we do also to a group of men in Toowoomba who formed a great company, Greenridge Botanicals, who grew echinacea purpurea on the Darling Downs and went on to produce one of the first commercial ranges based on that herb. And the use of the herb was pretty well consistent with what I've said already, as that being a useful herb to have on hand to deal particularly with a lot of the challenging conditions that come and go, but particularly in wintertime, cold climate conditions, influenza, viral infections, where the range that they developed was superb. However, whereas echinacea was distinctly North American in its origin, albeit grown and cultivated in other parts of the world quite prolifically, the herb Astragalus membranaceus has quite an other history and role to play in supporting one's, how can I call it, one's resistance to infection. And Astragalus is distinctly a herb that owes its origin and its usefulness to the Asian continent and to essentially Chinese traditional medicine. So we'll have a look at this fascinating herb, which certainly I had a lot to do with in introducing it into Australian Western herbal medicine about 25, 30 years ago. And of course it plays an integral part in my practice, as it does in many other practitioners' practices.
Now, Dennis, you mentioned the herb Astragalus, where does that fit in with immune system support?
Okay, that's a very good question. I have already emphasised the primary role of the herb Echinacea as dealing with conditions that come and go, regularly experienced, frequently self-limiting, but recurrent and troublesome, things like, for instance, tonsillitis, things like staph infections, boils, carbuncles, those sorts of things, and particularly the role it plays in limiting the deepening effect of a nasty cold, where it has been proven that it can curtail the length of time that a cold becomes active when one uses Echinacea in that role. Now, the role of Astragalus is quite different, albeit Echinacea can work with Astragalus where it is appropriate. But Astragalus is primarily used, and let me emphasise this, primarily used for a deeper-seated level of illness. We're talking about conditions that are chronic, conditions that are established, conditions that require ongoing monitoring and medication. I mean monitoring by our good doctors and medication where required, particularly chronic respiratory conditions, and even some conditions of an immunological nature, a propensity to experience recurrent viral infections, particularly after one has experienced, say, something like a glandular fever or something like even the COVID. There is what is frequently referred to as a post-viral tendency, where people that experience those things go on to experience regular deep episodes of those conditions. Very debilitating, particularly in the elderly or particularly in those who have had a nasty viral infection which has compromised their immunity in some ways. Astragalus is used primarily for a more deep-seated chronic level of disease and frequently applicable to people in an ageing syndrome where they are already experiencing a bracket of chronic diseases. The herb Astragalus, in my opinion, is a breakthrough remedy based on our understanding of its role in Chinese medicine as a remedy to treat, and I emphasise, deep-seated chronic conditions where the herb Echinacea can be used to reinforce it, but not as a primary remedy. Astragalus is the one, in my opinion, which has demonstrated quite an ability to handle that deeper level of chronic, recurring, debilitating disease. I think that's a breakthrough and reinforces what I believe very strongly, that a sensible, medically oriented use of the herb as complementary medicine has a role to play even in modern medicine in lessening the depth and the seriousness of deep-seated chronic diseases. That's how I see it. And I've had a lot to do in prescribing it along those lines. But look, what I would like to do when we meet next week again with a better board situation,
yes,
talk more about the discovery, which certainly has made an incredible impact on herbal medicine in pharmacy by many pharmacists that stock the remedy, that prescribe it, certainly amongst many natural therapists, and here and there by quite a few doctors, and that is the famous Astragalus 8 formula, whose history I will talk to the listeners about, and my discovery of it, my development of it, my lecturing on it initially, and establishing the reputation of the herb in this country. So that's a fascinating topic. And the way in which the term Fushen medicine, or Fushen therapy, F-U-Z-S-H-E-N, a Chinese term, incorporates astragalus as a primary remedy to support Fushen therapy, which essentially means alongside of. In Chinese medicine in particular, herbs like astragalus are frequently prescribed in conjunction with the medical management to give an improved outcome. This is where I've found the combination, the role of it, of the herb astragalus, to be quite outstanding.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about it next week.
We will.
This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM.